Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to episode 26 of Anxiety Calling. I'm Hector.
And I'm Lois. And today we're going to be talking about social media.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, what I can definitely say for myself, I think I have quite an interesting perspective on it.
You have an interesting perspective, do you?
Yeah, because, I mean, I am a millennial, but I didn't get Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of that until I was 25. I didn't get it until 2018. Until then, I never had a Facebook account, an Instagram account, Twitter account, none of it. And I didn't get it until much later.
I think a lot
of people are always very shocked when they hear that, because they're like, how did you go that long without having social media? And I have to say, I think I was a happier person before I had social media.
Actually, I did start pretty early when I was 14 or something.
I had MySpace. And you have Loka Listen before that.
So yeah.
That was like the German MySpace.
I had for like 3 days, but then I just got really bored of it and then ended up. Also, I think I didn't get Instagram until, how old was I? 27? So 2017, that was. I was one of the late ones.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of us sort of like, most people I knew had Facebook and then like might have eventually got converted over to do Instagram. And now, of course, the newest one, I guess, is TikTok.
Yeah.
I have TikTok, but I can't bring myself to make a TikTok because my problem with all of my social media is I'm absolutely terrified of posting anything ever.
Why?
Because I'm afraid of how people will see it. I'm afraid they'll see it and think like, oh God, she's so boring, or like, oh God, she's so ugly, or oh my God, look at her, she got fat, or I don't know. Or they'll be like, oh, she's so lame, you know? And so I'm really scared of people making fun of me, I guess, even though I shouldn't really care about that kind of thing. But it's sort of like, I know how judgmental other people are, like about, you know, things that their acquaintances post on social media. And so I'm kind of worried. I'm also worried about annoying people. I'm also kind of like,
part of the deal? I think that was part of the point of social media was to cringe over other people.
I know, but that's why I hate it, because I don't want people to cringe over me. I don't want to be cringe. And I'm sure people do. I mean,
Everyone is cringe for somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the things I post are just probably deeply, deeply boring to most people.
But the things with me and you, I mean, we don't really post just sort of everyday stuff. You mostly post stuff that's like to do with your art. And for me, it's usually so on my regular profile, so not our Anxiety Calling profile. But for the for my personal one, it's like it's all to do with sort of theater and acting and stuff like that. So I only really post when I have something going on there, and even then, like it's quite hard for me to do, because I have a very hard time promoting myself, like being like, oh, you know, look at me, I'm doing stuff. Because also most people I know, actually, another thing that makes me quite anxious about social media is like how many lies there are.
Lies.
Everyone lies all the time on social media. Everyone pretends that their life is going a certain way. But then I'll like ask a friend, be like, oh, you know, things seem to be going really well with your boyfriend, that's cool. And then she'll be like, no, it's not. And I was like, but on Instagram, you're always posting pictures of the two of you really happy. And she was like, yeah, it's Instagram. And I'm like, what?
Well, it'd be funny to make an Instagram account where you just, you know, call it the shit show or something. And just people do that, I think.
It's
as
like
well.
So everything that goes wrong in your life, just like post it.
People do that though, I think. But then it's usually more like the spin is more like how brave you are despite that situation.
Yeah.
It'd be more fun if it was the sort of less important things that go wrong.
I heard there's one person I know from university who's like an anti-influencer. Like they're just like, they post just like the most unappealing stuff you can imagine. And it's hilarious. Like it's really funny. or just like really unflattering pictures, but also just like just gross food pictures. You know, people do like pictures of lovely looking food and it's just like disgusting looking food, like lentil soup with like wiener wurstchen in it or something like that. Just like not good looking food, like stuff
or badly photographed as well.
Badly photographed, but also just, you know, some food looks delicious and some food tastes good, but doesn't look particularly appealing because it's kind of like gray color or whatever. And that's just like what he, and it also just like random weird like museum stuff, like often kind of like sort of weird just like bits of like shrapnel and stuff like that that's not like at all interesting to most people.
Does he have many followers?
Like, I don't know how many followers he has, but it's like I always really enjoy looking at whatever the hell he posts because it's usually really funny, because it's just not it's kind of, it's like he's like an anti-influencer basically.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I like so that kind of stuff.
That is cool. He's funny. But yeah, so the reason I got actually, I would probably have carried on forever without social media if I hadn't wound up being a digital copywriter. But the reason I then got all of the social media stuff was because I got a job. I don't even know how I managed to get this job, but I managed to get a job as a social media copywriter. And so I obviously needed to know what I was going to be doing. And so I got all of the social, I got Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, because those were the main platforms I was going to be writing on. And I really did like a deep dive into what to expect kind of on YouTube. I went on YouTube and like watched a bunch of videos about them to kind of just like to prepare myself, because it's not that I didn't know what Facebook was. Like I did know, because sometimes I'd be at my, you know, at a friend's house, especially as a teenager, and we'd wind, they'd stalk all these people we went to school with all the time, you know? And so I knew that that was something you could use it for.
I think it's mostly used for stalking.
It's mostly used for stalking. And I've been stalked
by many people. And I'm really bad. I have to say, I'm really bad at stalking. I feel like a creep if I do it. But secondly,
I go out of my way not to, because, yeah. No, I mean, it depends. Like I have a big rule. And that's another reason why I'm so glad I got social media so late in life, is that I do not use it to check up on exes. Like a lot of people torture themselves by checking up on their ex on social media, either by following them in the first place or being, you know, and so they'll get exposed to like, you know, stuff, which is fine if you're on good terms and it was an amicable breakup and everything, or they'll like just keep looking at them. Like I knew someone, him and his girlfriend, they broke up, and like there was a time where on Instagram you could see everything that person had done that day on Instagram. Basically you could see all of the posts they'd liked, all of the new accounts they'd followed. I'm not sure if this is still a thing on Instagram, but it used to be a thing. And so people would, first of all, like, you know, basically keep tabs on their partners by like checking, you know, whose pictures they'd been liking all day, which is just so intrusive. But another thing that, so this guy used to do is he was every day, he would kind of like check her activity on Instagram to see what she'd been up to. And I remember him being like, oh, well, she followed all of these like bridal gown accounts on Instagram, so clearly like it's getting serious with her new boyfriend and all this stuff. And I was just like, why do you do that to yourself? Like that's so harmful to your mental health, you know. And that's like my number one rule is if someone's content on Instagram is going to cause me mental anguish, then I block them, mute them, unfollow them, and anyone who could possibly feature them in their stories, you know what I mean? Because like you're friends with friends of friends and stuff like that often on social media. So if I know that that's going to impact my mental health, then I do a deep clean of my social media to make sure that they will not show up on my feed.
Yeah, that's probably quite wise.
And I've never, ever, ever stalked an ex on Instagram or Facebook, because I just don't want, I mean, it depends. Like I've never stalked an ex on Instagram, but it's not that I have bad relationships with all of my exes. That's not what it is. It's more, but the ones that I do, the ones where it was like bad breakups, like my last breakup was messy to say the very least. I know that knowing anything about them is probably for the next 10 years, I'm just guessing, something that I just don't want to have to deal with. So I don't follow them. They have no way of looking at my stuff either. But ever so often, oh my God, just only recently, I was like chatting with someone and I said something about my ex-boyfriend. And then what did they do? They went and stalked his Instagram account and then came and like, oh, did you know this? Did you know this? Did you know this? I was like, no, I don't know these things because I don't want to know these things, you know?
Yeah, people will do that. I mean,
why do people do that? It's so annoying. I hate that.
I mean, I changed how I use Instagram, for example. It's not as a social platform for me, but more of like an information thing. So I actually use it to watch the news. So I follow all of the lots of different news agencies to sort of try and get a sort of diverse picture of what might be going on in the world. And I don't actually bother with the rest so much, unless it's someone I actually like a lot.
Yeah.
And post something that I'm interested in. The rest, most stories, I have quite a few people whose stories I've muted because it just bored me so much.
It just
blocks my news feed, as it
yeah,
were.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like my partner said once when he was looking over my shoulder while I was scrolling through Instagram, said I think 60% of your feed is just dogs.
Like, well, that's a good thing, you know. It's nice to look at dogs.
It's like I have 60% of my feed is like little animal accounts that just post adorable pictures of mostly puppies, because that's what I make a point to like follow a lot of those accounts because I know that those are things that I enjoy seeing. And then I do follow a lot of news accounts as well, just to stay informed, or like so it's also a lot of feminist accounts and a lot of political accounts, to be honest. That can get quite overwhelming though as well, so sometimes I have to follow some more animals so it's not too much doom and gloom, because a lot of the news out, I mean, you don't usually get good news.
No, I was about to say, I mean, I also follow sort of political activist accounts quite a lot. So that's another thing I was thinking about, that, I mean, Instagram really knows my political views by who I follow, what I like. And, you know, it would be quite easy for them to make a profile on me. I'm not sure if you've seen The Social Dilemma. I haven't watched it yet. Did you watch it?
No, not yet.
I haven't seen it yet because I was a bit worried that it would just stress me.
Yes.
And I know quite a few people who said they haven't seen that movie yet because they are worried about having to change their life afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, now, until they've seen it, they can still sort of stay oblivious to what's actually going on.
Are you feeling stressed, anxious, tired, but wired and just out of it? Hi, it's Jim. I used to be just like you, but then I discovered anxiety calling. Lois and Hector are assholes. Oops. Did I say assholes? I meant siblings who discuss their personal experiences in their podcast, Anxiety Calling. Listen to Anxiety Calling for secondhand embarrassment, bad advice, disturbing anecdotes, and off-topic rambling from unsound minds. Ask your doctor or therapist before using Anxiety Calling, because these two sure as hell are not mental health professionals. Any advice or information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences meant to raise awareness, help, and stigma of mental illness. Possible side effects may include boredom, chronic cringe, mental diarrhea, actual diarrhea, erectile dysfunction, and fatigue. Some listeners have reported never wanting to listen to Anxiety Calling again. But what's the best thing about Anxiety Calling? It's free! Start listening today. This message has been brought to you by Jib, the Disclaimer Dude.
It's quite fascinating. That aspect is interesting to me. And like it concerns me up to a point, because like I know that I've definitely upped my activism, and I know that I'm much more aware and I do use Instagram a lot for that. So for me, I don't really share much, but when I do share stuff in my stories, it's usually something that's kind of like, I like it to be very quite informative. So it's often like, recently I posted something that was kind of like, it was like, I guess, kind of like etiquette, or a thing of like just like explaining like the best way to treat someone who is in a wheelchair, because a lot of people get this wrong. And that was very interesting to me to read, because it was kind of like, okay, well, it was kind of like pointers on what to do, what not to do. And I think that just a lot of people probably just don't know that. So that'll be some, that'll be an example of what I would like post. It's kind of like stuff that's like, hey, you might not have known this. You might not be guilty of this, or you might be guilty of these things, but like, these are just like, it's just good to know these things, you know?
Mm.
So that's probably the most likely thing you'll find on my, in my stories. I think I've lost a lot of followers in the last year or so.
Oh yeah, because lots of people find the political activism on Instagram very annoying or cringeworthy, yeah. You know. Yeah. As well. So I mean, you're always going to annoy somebody whatever you post.
Exactly. I think it's very. Oh, that's another thing. I've had to unfollow a lot of people because they were just so. Because then you get the other. So you get people who are like very, you know, very liberal and like post a lot of stuff that's like, you know, along those lines. But you also get a lot of people who do the opposite of that. So people who are like, I mean, I've seen some stuff where I was like, I mean, they weren't like friends of mine or anything, but like I they were acquaintances and I knew them, but I had to unfollow them because the stuff that they posted made me so angry. Like I remember during the, while there were a lot of protests for Black Lives Matter in, you know, the wake of George Floyd being killed, there were some of the acquaintances I had were like going on and on and on and on about looting and like how it's like the worst thing you can do. And I was just like, it was just so... It just made me so angry, their position on things, and that they were like so clearly anti-BLM, but the way they justified it just pissed me off. Mm. Because it wasn't really a justification what they were saying, in my opinion. They were just clearly twats. So a lot of people I also do unfollow people, to be fair, who annoy me, because I think sometimes I am quite particular on, if our political views are not aligned, I don't really think that we're going to have a very meaningful relationship, I guess.
Yeah, no, the same. I think that was an interesting thing also about social media. I mean, there were good acquaintances, people that I actually, you know, I worked with or something, and I kind of liked. I didn't know that much about them. But then suddenly, for example, you saw that they posted like an All Lives Matter sticker.
Oh God.
Or they posted or they posted videos of themselves going to anti COVID demonstrations,
oh,
or
my,
basically,
wow,
right wing,
yeah,
demonstrations, or racist memes, or I don't know, things like that. And that was quite surprising, because you knew this person. I was thinking of someone specific who I used to work with. He was a really nice person. He was really nice to me, and we liked each other. But then eventually I realized why he was always nice to me, and why he seemed like a nice person. It was obviously because I was a white male man, obviously male man. But I was, you know, not someone who he didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't have a problem with, and then yes, I saw that these things he was posting. I thought, fuck.
Yeah, it's quite shocking sometimes, because you don't know until that happens to you, because it doesn't come up.
Vice versa, probably as well, because you know I was posting things about Moria and about the refugees drowning in the Mediterranean. Those are the sort of things that I occasionally posted. The more political things that I would post every now and then if it was something that really bothered me. And then obviously this is a person who followed me who thinks that, you know, they should drown in the Mediterranean or should be sent back, whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
These people will probably be just as disturbed by my left-wing feed or left-wing ideas or the things that I post as I am by their right-wing things. But yeah, this does lead to people unfollowing each other, obviously. Yeah. And for me, the older I get, the more political I feel that I am, or the more kind of things disturb me.
Yeah, it's so true. So that was something that that was another thing. Oh yeah, the thing about one thing that just bothers me about social media is like basically it's like people who follow you or people who know you, they have kind of like this unlimited access to you unless you step in and do something. And for instance, that was something that over the summer was a big thing, because I was posting things, and I was, you know, it was, I think it was one time I posted something about the Breonna Taylor case. And oh my God, and people would DM me, right? People would DM me attacking me for that. And then they would be like, oh, well, you know, I mean, in this case, like, wasn't that actually the judge's fault? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And well, there, he was the one who signed off on this thing. And I'm like, well, he wasn't the one who shot her. So no. Mm. Like, yeah, I think the whole, the, you know, obviously the not having to, the just being able to barge into someone's flat, you know, in the middle of the night is wrong. And nobody should give people permission for that. But I assume that the judge, and that is something that, you know, I think should be, it should be illegal altogether, obviously. However, if they come to a judge and they say they've done their paperwork and they know for a fact that this person is in this flat, what I assume the judge assumes they've done their research, I guess. You know what I mean? So if the police haven't done their research properly, end up in the wrong flat. And the thing is, this person was attacking me. They didn't even know these things. They didn't know all of the details. Mm. They were just, they had just read, they literally just read a headline in some newspaper or something. And then just simply, decided that was what it was, that basically it's all the judges to blame. And like, oh, this is all very unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is, kind of.
And it's not so, even necessary about blaming. I don't think what you posted was even directly about blaming just one specific group. The whole Sikh system.
Exactly. That's what it was about. It was literally about the whole, like the system as a whole and what a problem it is. And also just like, you know, I don't know, highlighting the fact that nothing has happened to these, to the officers who did that. And so, but there was, so I was attacked by this person who actually didn't know anything. And then when I like pointed, and I also like, it made me so angry because I felt like the reason they decided to attack me was because I'm an easy target basically for them, because I'm a woman, so that makes me an easier target, and I'm white, so they wouldn't dare challenge a black person on this because they would be worried about being called out as racist by a black person, you know what I mean? But then if they, so they think they can just like attack me, but and that I'm just going to be like, oh yeah, you're probably right, but like obviously I didn't do that. And then in the end they just admitted to being a racist, or being worried that they were a racist. Literally that's what they did in the end. Like I really, really gave it to them, because I was like, well listen, first of all, don't assume I'm stupid and I haven't done my research, because I have, and these are the, this is, you know, these are the facts that I know, and like that kind of contradicts what you're telling me. And then it was like, well, I didn't even know that. And I'm like, well, then don't attack me. If you don't know these things, why are you attacking me? And then I'm like, oh, well, because I'm afraid that I've, you know, behaved badly in the past and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, well, then just do better. Gosh, like if you want some here, I gave them like a list of films and books, films they could watch, books they could read to educate themselves. But I don't think they never replied to that message. So I don't know if they ever actually bothered to educate themselves any further.
That's another interesting thing that I think I noticed among the people that I know, but also I think statistically as a woman, you're more likely to be attacked on social media than as a man. I heard a lot of that from friends, especially activists, female activists.
Absolutely.
Have to put up with a lot of abuse.
But from men. I didn't get a single woman. Not a single woman confronted me and was like, oh, I think that what you're saying is wrong, or I disagree with this. Not a single woman did that.
I have a friend who's also a female activist on social media, and she told me that all the, about probably 98% of the abuse she gets is male, actually.
It was only white men. Only white men challenged me. But I actually... It was frustrating, but at the same time, it did give me an opportunity to educate them every time. And then at the end of every single last one of them actually did back down, at least.
I find interesting about the whole social media thing is it is like a free, it seems or feels like there's a free space for anyone to, you know, spew abuse or
that's the thing. Violence, that's what I'm saying. You
violence on anybody.
Yeah.
And I saw an interesting, someone, I think this, lots of people probably saw this post. Someone posted that, how is it possible that Instagram and Facebook are able to tag every COVID-19 post with COVID information, but not sexist, racist, or...
It's also able to detect nipples.
Yes, it's able to detect nipples, but not able to detect racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, or other bigoted opinions or things that people say.
They absolutely and
label it with information. They probably could,
absolutely could, but they don't. And the reason they don't is because of this thing that people always come back to, which is freedom of speech.
What I find interesting is you're not actually allowed to go out onto the street and call someone you can be, if you're on the street and you abuse someone verbally, you can, that is a crime. In most countries, it is punishable with certain, usually just a fee or something. But it seems that this doesn't apply necessarily everywhere in the virtual space, as it were.
It really, that's a hard one.
And that's quite backward, I think.
It is.
Because we now, I think that we're getting more and more into an age where most of our communication, probably, actually, yeah, I think the larger part of our communication and our interaction with other human beings will be virtual, online, and everything else. And it's very unregulated. And so
if you write it online, it's in writing. How is that not worse than if you do it, if you say it on the street? Like, I think that's also bad, and you should be fined for it. Absolutely, it should be illegal. But then, if you put it in writing, how is that somehow less bad? Isn't that
the one thing? Is this people would never be brave enough to say something like that in real life. They feel like they're kind of safe because they're writing from,
because of the anonymity as well that they get.
Because you have a sort of anonymous account. But I think it should be. I think that should be something that could that should be able to. I think that's something that one should change. There should be laws that if you have an account, it can be traced to you. It doesn't have to be. I mean, you can be, for private people, you can be anonymous. But if you're, for example, have committed a crime, a verbal, you might call it, verbal crime, as it were, something, or attacked someone or caused someone psychological, emotional damage by constantly or repeatedly doing something like that, it should be possible for the government or a legal entity to track you down to the space that you were using for that.
And I think that might happen. I know that now.
I mean, if you send someone in the post, if you send someone a death threat by post, right? Then usually the police start to, you know, track or would try and find out who did that, right?
Yeah.
I think they're probably starting to do that more on the internet, but
But
if you think about how many, I mean, like all those, like the poor football.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to allude to.
Who got all those death threats after the European Cup. You know, that's, you know, terrible.
But that's exactly what I was going to touch on next, actually. So because of I'm sure a lot of listeners already knew about this, but just in case you didn't, just for context, the European, after the European Cup final, where England lost against Italy in a penalty shootout, three of the England players were targeted online with a lot of both death threats and a lot of racial abuse. So a lot of, a lot of racist comments and so on. But as a result of this, actually, loads and loads of people then reported them, because you can report these things on Instagram. Mostly nothing will actually happen, though. Like, there are so many cases where basically you'll report this and then a bot will basically be like, oh, well, this isn't against our company guidelines. So as long as there's no nipples involved, it should be fine, you know?
Female nipples, that is. Male nipples are allowed.
Oh, yeah, only female nipples. Male nipples are fine, because it's only female nipples that turn you into a, you know, sex monster. Anyway, but a lot of people were reporting them, and they were also like, not only that, just doing it on Instagram, that's actually not going to do much at all. But what they did was they were, and oftentimes were able to trace these people's accounts, find out who they were, and find them on LinkedIn, and then alert their, you know, for instance, their boss, their managers, and so on. And there have been a lot of consequences for these actions. People who were like supposed to be going to university, their acceptance basically revoked, people being fired, but also whether this is going to happen or not, we don't know, because Boris Johnson is fucking useless, but he is saying that he's going to look into it, and that people will be, they're going to fine everyone who made racist comments, death threats, and so on and so forth, are going to have to deal with hefty fines, and, you know, will be banned from going to see any football tournaments in the future, that kind of stuff. So there will be consequences, apparently. Whether this actually happens or not is the question. But I'm hoping that this horrible, horrible situation at least has the silver lining of maybe there being more regulation for these kind of things.
Well, that's also another interesting thing. I think it's good that private people, as it were, sort of started doing this detective work and using the possibilities of alerting certain people so that there were consequences. But it shouldn't even be the task of private people to I don't know, try and get some form of justice out of that situation, you know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be possible from the start in the way that it is. And I don't actually buy into the whole freedom of, I mean, I think freedom of speech is important, but I think lots of social media companies who are saying, oh, you know, it's freedom of speech to say racist things, whatever. Basically, I think they just want to have, they just want to have as many, they don't want to lose.
Have the cake and eat it too?
Have the cake and eat it too. I think that's what it is. They don't, you know, they want to have as many customers.
It's obviously a business decision, not really a human rights decision.
Yes, it's a business decision.
I just fundamentally disagree with the concept that hate speech is the same thing as freedom of speech. Because freedom of speech only means, actually, if you boil it down, what it actually means is that that if you speak out against your government about whatever your government, so like me, for instance, just saying that Boris Johnson's useless, right? That is what freedom of speech is. It means that I will not have, there will be no repercussions of me saying Boris Johnson is useless. That is what freedom of speech is. It gives you the right to speak up against your government and say and criticize your government. That is what freedom of speech is about. It's not about being a racist or a sexist or an ableist or a transphobe. That is not what freedom of speech is about. I don't buy that argument, because people always come and say, well, I say these things shouldn't be allowed. You should not be able to say these things online. You should not be able to offend people like that. And you cannot compare the right to like share content related to Black Lives Matter with the right to be racist. Those are two different things. You know what I mean? The right to speak up for Black Lives Matter, for Black rights, for, you know, trans rights, women's rights, that is a political thing. Being a racist is not, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not an opinion that you have to share or that you should be allowed to share, because it just fuels hate.
I think also one can differentiate between things that you are sharing which are harmful to others or upsetting or discriminating, and an opinion which is something which would help someone who is, I don't know. But I think that's for me, in my mind at least. I'm not sure if other people agree, but in my mind at least, how I differentiate between things is what I would say counts as freedom of speech is some things which are harmful and things which aren't harmful.
Exactly. Because how, it's so strange the way people react to things, isn't it? That's something that really does, because the trouble is with social media for me is that it is so divided I feel so divided on it, because on the one hand, it can be used as a really good tool to spread awareness about things. And a lot of people can have access to information that they wouldn't necessarily normally get, because, you know, forget trying to learn, you know, about what really happened. You know, forget trying to learn like the real history of, say, Great Britain in an actual English school. Like, you're not really going to, you're going to get a very one-sided story. You're not really going to get the full picture. And that will be the case everywhere. You will always get a very like one-sided story. And only one time, I remember once my history teacher at school was made a point to point that out to us, that we need to keep in mind when we're reading these history books that they're from a very Western perspective. And that it isn't necessarily the full story. This is what we're going to need to pass the test, but it isn't the full story. And I thought that was very, very interesting. And on the one hand, yes, you have access to so much more information nowadays, which is a good thing. On the other hand, you have a lot of access to misinformation. People will just suddenly make something up, and then other people will just take it at face value, because I guess a lot of people just think, well, why wouldn't you believe what you read on the internet? You know?
Yeah, that happens. That happens. I mean, so I work in a vaccination center, and I get people know this. And I actually privatized my account when I started working here, because I was also getting strange messages sometimes from people. And I don't know why people seem to think that because I work here, they have to they have to send me things which are challenging the whole vaccination thing. So they send me, they just send me something that just someone wrote. It's just something that someone wrote and as a post, and this is then proof that the vaccination is killing millions of people. And I just don't, that is a strange thing because, I mean, I have this, I'm not quite sure how to put it, but I try to not trust 100% anything I read anywhere.
Yeah.
100%. And of course, there are things that I choose to believe without doing all my research into the topic. But like you said, that is quite dangerous sometimes that something is just written there and people will just accept it.
Run with it. And like, run that's something that like, because I'm, you know, very, very neurotic about posting anything on social media. I do, if I see something, I'm like, okay, then I do tend to like look it up and like, okay, how much truth is there to this post? Is this true? Is this not true? Is this blown out of proportion? An example of that was I read a post once and I was like super shocked when I first read it. And like, I'm still shocked. I mean, the truth behind it is also very shocking, but it wasn't quite the way it was put on the thing. On the thing, on the post, it said basically in, what was it? I think in 35 states in America, police officers are legally allowed to rape people who are in their custody. And I was like, whoa, what? So I looked into it because I was like, what exactly is going on here in America? So I looked it up, and basically what the deal is in 35 states, I think it's 35 states, it's not illegal for police officers to have sex with people who are in their custody, but I mean consensual sex. But the point is, if you're arresting someone, you're in a position of power, how can that person really consent to anything? You know what I mean? Because of the power dynamic, there is so much room for abuse in that whole situation, which has led and does lead to police officers abusing their power, and yes, indeed raping women, arresting women for no reason and then raping them while they're in custody. It does happen, has happened before. There have been cases of this. And obviously that is absolutely terrible, but it's not like officially legal for them. Obviously they're not supposed to rape them, but it's not illegal for them to have sex with them, which, yes, you're right. That is a completely ridiculous law, and it should be absolutely illegal for them to have sex with someone. I mean, how does that even make sense? Why the fuck would you have sex with somebody who, what?
I mean, a police officer shouldn't be having sex while working anyway.
They shouldn't be having sex while working. They shouldn't be having sex with
someone. I'm sure there's a law against pilots having sex while flying an aeroplane.
Exactly. You absolutely should not be having sex with somebody who's in your custody, because, I mean, that's ridiculous. What the hell? So, yeah, obviously that is a ridiculous thing. But the way the post was written was, like, obviously a lot more shocking than what the reality behind it is. Also still shocking, but it wasn't quite what the post said. But I think what often happens is something will be said like that. Because the argument is, how can you really consent to it? And how can you know that the person who is the detainee is actually consenting and wants to and is not being coerced because they're afraid of the consequences of rejecting the police officer? You know what I mean? So clearly that's a really, really fucked up law, that should be absolutely changed. But wording does matter. You know?
Yeah. I mean, in that case, probably the wording was used so that people like you then look into it and then realize that there's something.
There's also some merit to that.
I was about to say that there's sometimes in political activism that can be sensationalism, if you want to call it that, can be a sort of tool to get people more aware of what's going on. Because if you know, you the first thing you read is just part of a paragraph from a law book, like 90% of the people just, you know, read over, not bother to read it, you know.
And also, I feel like
our attention span is very short.
Yeah. But I think what often happens is, like, especially with women's rights things, is you'll see something and it's like a very, very sensationalist a very sensational sort of like
Statement, yeah.
And then what then turns, and then you're like shocked, but then like somebody will look into it and be like, oh, well, it's actually not that bad. It's just this and this and this. And I'm like, those are still problems. Those are still massive issues. Because recently there was someone who did like a big post and it was like all these very, very like insane headlines that really like were very, very shocking. And if you looked into it, it wasn't quite like, it wasn't quite as simple or as black and white as that, but it was still really, really bad. And was just very, very depressing when you then think about, well, just, you know, the state of human rights. But then again, I think because what it can backfire a bit, because then basically you have these very shocking headlines and then people are like relieved in a way when they find out what's really going on. And so they're like, well, it's not that bad. And so they don't feel like it's worth fighting for anymore because it's kind of like, well, it's not as bad as I thought it was. But, you know, so I kind of rather it was very clear and very like to actually what is happening so that people don't, when they read it, aren't relieved, because I don't want them to be relieved by this. I want them to still be angry about it, you know? Because like I'm still, when I do read up and I'm still angry, like I'm still very angry by that law in 35 states or something like that. It's like a ridiculous amount, actually. It does make me very, very, very angry. But I think a lot of people, and I mean, I personally have specifically experienced this with men, are then just like, oh, well, it's not that bad. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not your body that they're talking about, you know? So yeah, of course, to you, that might not seem so bad, but to me, it seems very bad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it, but the statement is actually true. I mean, what it says, it wouldn't be illegal if they did that.
Well, if they got caught doing it, then it wouldn't be illegal. But who are you going to believe?
No, of course they believe them. So there's an interesting case in Austria right now where a man from, he's had a migration status in Austria. And five police officers were somehow called somewhere for something else, but he happened to be there and they were questioning him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just beat him up for no reason. God. And what happened is that there was a report written by the police officers, and they said that the man was resisting arrest, even though there was no reason to arrest him. And then by coincidence, a year later, and I guess this man went to the police and tried to sue them. He tried to make a complaint about this thing that, you know, I was just for no reason, I was beaten up. And no one believed him.
Yeah, of course not.
And what happened was then by coincidence, somehow the owner of the shop they found the videotapes, and then on the videotape you could see that for no reason this person was being abused by the police officers. And so now they all had to go to court, and but none of them have actually been sentenced. Actually, two have been sentenced, but it's not legally. I'm not this. There's one more instance, something like that, and to I think like 12 months prison, and but not real prison. Sort of, I forgot what it is.
House arrest or something.
Something like that. But none of them have actually lost their job.
Yeah.
They're still allowed to be police officers. And the guy, and then the policeman's excuse was, yeah, I was, you know, having a lot of emotional stress at the time, and he sort of apologized for having done that. But I mean, that should never be an excuse. And the others, one of them also got sentenced to a mild penalty for basically faking the documents saying that what happened. What actually happened. And I mean, we see this is much worse in other countries where this kind of stuff happening. I don't even know how we ended up here again.
We're talking about a post that was like, because it was like
what it says. Yeah,
it wasn't like the wording wasn't entirely true, but when you really get down to it, it
depends how you look at it. Yeah,
it depends how you look at it, because like I said, I don't think that I don't see any situation where the detainee can actually give full consent under those circumstances. And also we know full well that the consequences for police officers who actually get caught doing something that is illegal are very mild, if any, you know, if at all, you know. And right now we have this like thing in the UK, because few months ago, a fucking police officer, Met police officer, kidnapped, raped, and murdered a woman here in London. Mm-hmm. And he's on trial right now. And or it's like starting, the whole thing, process is starting. He has admitted to it because I think they just have too much. I mean, he can't not, I mean, he has too much, there's too much evidence against him. But the worst thing is that he had, there had been complaints made about him for indecent exposure only 3 days before, wait, ages ago, but also only 3 days before this kidnapping, rape and murder happened. 3 days beforehand, women came forward and said, this police officer flashed me, I think he flashed them. I mean, it was indecent exposure, I think that's what that means.
Mm.
But nothing happened. Nothing happened to him. And so he was still working as a police officer, still out and about. And so he was it was able to escalate to that point. And had they done something about it when he was indecently exposing himself, then Sarah Everard, the woman, would still be alive, you know?
Yep. I mean, there are quite a few cases like that that have happened, I think, everywhere. And this may be one good thing about social media. And this is just maybe to round the whole conversation off for today, because we're already past our time. But one good thing about social media, maybe, and also the possibilities we have to use social media in the sense of activism is, I think, like the whole BLM movement might not have got started as big as it did without social media and without the girl who filmed the horrible murder of George Floyd. I think she actually got a Pulitzer Prize for that.
Yeah, the girl did.
And so, I mean, of course, there are lots of bad sides to it, but I think has been used quite a few times to actually really push for political change, and to show injustice, terrible injustice, and none of that would have happened. I think none of it. I think probably maybe the guy who killed George Floyd would still be a police officer if it hadn't been obviously for the girl. I've forgotten her name. Who filmed it, but also for putting it on social media and spreading it. And I think the momentum of the movement was carried by people interacting on social media.
Also, because people were able to organize that way, organize protests and so on, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like these things have been happening for so long now, but now we're at a time where it's so much harder to hide it and sweep it under the carpet when everyone has a camera in their pocket. And everyone can film you at any time doing whatever it is that you do. So now this is not new behavior. This is nothing new. This has been going on for ages.
Yeah. But
for the first time, it's become, people have to believe it because they're seeing it with their own eyes. You know what I mean? It's so much easier to just be like, well, I've never experienced that. I've never seen that. You just have to take your word for it. You know what I mean? It's so easy to just invalidate people's experiences because it's like that, you know, the whole like, oh well, you know, if you don't take a picture, if you don't take a video of it, it never happened, you know what I mean?
I think that is a good thing
and exactly, it's, that's why I said I'm so divided, because on the one hand there's that which I cannot see that as a negative thing. I can only see that as a good thing. The negative part is that with all of that good change, you also have people who are desperately trying to stop it. You know, and just spewing hate and are also able to organize. That's the thing. The opposition can organize as well. It's not just like.
Yeah. So it really depends which moral or ethical ideals yours are, as it were.
Yeah.
How you see it. But getting back to social media, if you haven't already, give us a follow on Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and many more.
Thank you so much for listening. I don't know we're not sure yet what our next episode is going to be about. We're gonna have to, you know,
maybe we'll do a poll again. Surprise you.
Maybe we'll do a poll again. Yes, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening, and tune in next week.
Yeah.